He Wonderful in the key of F. And we're going to ask Brother Donnie if he would come this morning for a responsive reading. Just remember all of those who are out sick this morning and going through the trials that just need a touch from the Lord. Amen. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen and ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord?
It's good to see everybody here. We got a full house this morning. As we're going to read Psalms 30 this morning, and before we go to the author, let's just give thanks, Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering again here this day. And Lord, bless those that couldn't come through the door today. Whatever the hindrance is, Lord, just touch them and bless them and be with them. Your word is the mighty conqueror, Lord. Let it be sunk down each and every heart that hears your word this day and be magnified, Father. Let it be fulfilled that the bride of Jesus Christ will stand up and know who she is, Lord. That's my hope and prayer, Lord, this day. And Father God, bless the ministry here, Lord, and bless Brother Wade as he's preparing to bring your word to us this morning. Be with him, Father, and just continue blessing us, Father, in the ways that you have with the ministry that's so great here. That's been such an important part in my life, Father. And Lord God, help my unbelief. Because that's the only reason we have these problems, is our unbelief gets in the way of you and doing what we're supposed to. So you just help us, Lord, and be with us today as we open your word. Bless our fellowship. Don't let anybody say anything or do anything to harm or hinder you, Lord, in any way. We ask these things in your precious name and bless the opening and the reading of your word, Father. Amen. As we read Psalms 30, I will exalt thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me.
O Lord, thou hast brought my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Well, I'm sorry. What the wrong? One too many pages. Forgive me, Lord. Let's try this again. Okay. So where was we at? Verse 5. Okay. Forgive me. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Lord, by my favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide my face, and I was troubled.
I cried to thee, O Lord.
What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper.
Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing, and thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Amen. Thank you for the open reading of the word. You may be seated.
Amen. I like that verse where he said, thou hast made my mountain stand strong. He's given us a mountain. He's given us of his nature. Amen. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and receive our tithes and offering. Let's turn to page 43 before our brother comes out this morning. Coming down, the master is calling, coming down. I don't know about you, but I've really been feasting off of the word this week, and ever since Brother Wade's been starting on that Son of Man ministry, and Brother Bob's been covering so many things that the Lord is just discerning in the hearts and meeting the needs and the challenge of this time. Amen. Oh, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people coming down. With His manna He doth feed and supplies their every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Coming down, the Master calleth, coming down. At Jesus' table all the time. Oh, He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, coming down. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master coming down. Amen. Found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He satisfied the hungry every time. Coming down, the Master calleth, coming down. Feast at Jesus' table all the time. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternal. Oh, what a time that'll be. Coming down, the Master calleth, coming down. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, hallelujah, to the hungry calleth now. Come in, let's sing that last verse again. Soon the bride will take His bride and be ever at His side. All the hosts will lay a symbol be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Coming down, the Master calleth, coming down. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, coming down. Let's all stand. Oh, coming down, the Master calleth, coming down. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Oh, He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, coming down. Oh, coming down, the Master calleth, coming down. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you, smiling faces, going places. Got everybody back that's sick pretty much, so we thank the Lord for that. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of John and start with Who Is This Son of Man, Part 17. A couple of announcements. Number one, this afternoon we'll be voting on the pastorship, and then if you don't want to do one of your jobs, then you can you need to tell Brother Terrence or myself, and we will do it accordingly. Also remember, Brother Aaron will be speaking Wednesday night. The banquet is next Saturday, February the 5th. I think everybody's already signed up that's going, and we'll have pictures at 4 o'clock down at the barn, all right? Also, remember, February the 13th, Brother Richard Hyde will be here with us. He's coming through, going to Florida on vacation, so he's going to stop by and speak for us that Sunday. So keep those things in your prayer. Also, Brother Joe gave me he usually does this about once every quarter, and it shows how many people are viewing our sermons. And since October the 28th, now this is only 90 days from today, or from January the 25th, we've had 15,541 views. The watch time is 4.2 thousand hours. Yeah. And we've got 118 new subscribers. We've got 1,476 subscribers. So people are watching in. They're having a problem, and we're talking about the internet. Now they're having a problem with it today. So it's on Comcast. It's not on our end. So, but it makes United States, India, South Africa, Philippines, Canada, Kenya, Nigeria, Germany, Zimbabwe, Fiji. Never been there before. Australia, Trinidad and Tobago, United Arab Emirates, and the UK. So. That's a lot. 15,000 views in 90 days. That's not bad. That's not even a year. That's only 3 months worth. So, that's why that we say that, you know, we'd love for you to be here, because I want to read something. June and I were looking at, something yesterday, and somebody posted on Facebook, and it's really true. The danger of missing church is that soon you don't miss it. The danger of missing church is that soon you don't miss it. Wow. God's never done away with church. The Bible's never done away with coming to church. I know some people can't have to listen online and they don't have a place to go. That's okay. But still, you can't go over what the Bible says. Forsake not assembling yourself together. And I know there's vacations and things you have to do, work. I'm not talking about that. But when people disappear, they hardly ever come back. Come on. Why? Because of that. The danger of missing churches, you just finally don't miss it. Well, then the love of God's not in you. Amen. If you don't love to come to church, or if it doesn't boil in your heart to want to be somewhere listening to the Word of God, then you need to be born again. Amen. That's just bottom line. You need to be born again. All right, John 1, verse 1. And we're going to talk a little bit about headship today. And then I think when Brother Luis is going to be here this afternoon and do his presentation on when they all went to the Central America. But I want to get to a point, and then maybe we'll stop. But I want to get, I ask y'all to listen to adoption series that Sunday that we didn't have church because of the weather, and that's what we're going to continue into, because you can't preach on the statue of perfect man without preaching adoption. You can't bring the Son of Man in without preaching adoption, because that's where it comes from. He actually had to be adopted. Amen? That's what we'll get to in just a little bit. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Just remember all these announcements. Remember the banquet next weekend. Like I said before, get to know your spouse very well. Because we don't want that Collins group to have that trophy 2 years in a row. No, can't have them. Have we ever had anybody get it 2 years in a row? Tony and Esther, maybe? Okay, maybe so. But anyway, they're not going to get it this year. I'm talking about the Collinses. I ain't talking about y'all. We're going to get rid of them. All right, who is this son of man? But you really get to know your spouse. And it's fun. We have a good time. It's fun. Is that thing? It looks dark. Can y'all see that? Does it look dark? Can y'all lighten that up in the back a little bit? Or is our thingy going out? Because I can barely see it. All right, so while they're working on that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray that you would sanctify us, Lord, today for a little while for this journey that we're on, that we'll push the world back, Lord, leave the demons at the door, and come inside and listen to you, Father. We pray that you'd bless us and take care of us, Lord, as the bride of Jesus Christ. We call out to you, Lord, that we want to be adopted. We want to be placed. We want these things, Lord, but not we don't want them without character. Because the prophet of God told us that power without character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. Father, we want to, number one, we want to have rulership over this body that we live in. And then we want to have leadership, Lord. We'll talk about that in a minute. Headship from you, Father, all the way down. Father, we're the bride of Jesus Christ. We're the feminist part of you. Lord, so we have to have headship. We have to have a place to assemble. We have to have a fivefold ministry, Lord, that talks to us about you, Father. Lord, you set it up that way, and it must be perfect because you're perfect. So we must go by that. Father, we pray that you bless the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here. We ask you to take care of the ones, Lord, that are on the highways or traveling, different things, Lord. Bad weather way up north, Father, we pray that you bless the bride up there. And be with each one, Father. Bless us in the furtherment of this service. Forgive us of our many mistakes and sins in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, how about this morning? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. Let's go to Hebrews 10:5 again, as we were talking Wednesday night, some of you that weren't here, that wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, we know Scripture has dual meaning. All right, there was a body created by a creative act of God to create the egg and the germ, place it in Mary, and here comes the flesh body of Jesus. But also, if you can read this right, you're going to read a body hast thou prepared me, and I believe he's talking about the bride. Because he needs the bride. You say, oh no, God don't need anything. Okay, he chose that he needed it. Okay, can we just say that? He chose that he needed it. Okay, so it's his business to fulfill what he's already said, and he will have a bride because he saw that there would be a bride, and he would in type make it be husband and wife to deliver a child. The only way Christ is going to be delivered to this earth is through who? His bride. Because there's no other body. This body that Hebrews 10:5, this body that was created is sitting on the throne now. It's not down here in this dimension. Amen? The flesh of Jesus is not here today, but he has transferred, that, like we read there in verse 12 of John, to them gave he power. Transforming power to become the sons of God. Amen? Amen. What a great thing. You think about all the great men in the world, and we do give honor to the great men in the world that try to do things right. But you know what? Without God, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they're going to hell. Unless they be given eternal life, but I don't want to have to go on my works. I hope Bill Gates and all those different ones don't have to want to go on their works, because they may have pulled a shady dealer every once in a while to get where they're at. Maybe not, but I don't want to deal with that. I want to become the sons of God right here. Amen. And not have to worry about being at the white throne, because you don't have to go. I said before. But what happens is, see, we take headship down here. They're going to have to, remember the Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Is that right? Every knee. You're either going to be made to do it, or you're going to do it now because you love Him. And I'd rather do it now because I love Him. If I do it now because I love Him, I don't have to do it at the white throne judgment. Because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, you know what? Confess Him today that He's Lord of your life. He already has headship. He already has been married to you. He already is your husband. He's the head of the body of the church, as we're going to read here. Ephesians 5, verse 23. Says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Now, headship. Watch this real quick. I got notes wrote down. Some of you just got the paperwork. I wrote the notes down on it, so you got it too. You got the cheat sheet. I wrote the cheat sheet before I run y'all a copy off. So watch what it is, though. It's Christ, man, or the husband, and the woman. Everybody got that? Say amen. Christ, all God was, He poured into Christ. Christ poured into the church. We understand that. But let's make it really simple. We know that God and Christ is the same person. Okay? Christ, the man, the woman. Everybody got that? Okay? Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, man, the woman. All right? You take Christ, man, the woman. Who's Christ? Christ is the Lord. The man was Jesus and the woman is the bride. And you say, no, that's Christ. Well, where's Christ? Where's Christ today? Christ is the anointed one. Now, we know that He was anointed, but He's in a body somewhere else. Another dimension. You and I. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All these different things. Brother Brown said, what are the seals? The seals are Christ. Well, is the seals going to be revealed to cars and planes and boats and fiddles? And no. People. People. It's going to be revealed to people, and people are going to manifest Christ. Because if Christ is in you, and you have the mind of Christ, you're going to act like Him. That's what we're talking about with the statue of a perfect man. See, man really didn't know. Now, I want you to understand this. Man really didn't know how to act until Christ came. We're going to read it here just a little while. They were given a law. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Amen? But now when Christ came, He didn't do away with the law. He made it where you could live it. Because they tried for years, and every year they tried to live it, and they always made a mistake because they always had to go back and make another sacrifice. Amen? I would say it kind of got frustrating. You know, you take David being a murderer and having his best friend killed and being an adulterer. You know, David, he went to church to try to get rid of that. Make his sacrifice, say, God, I'm sorry, but it was still there. Because you know what? Even when he had his friend killed, he still took Bathsheba. He didn't say, no, I messed up, I shouldn't have done that. No, he took her. And he married her. And of course, we know Solomon came through that. We know God uses those things, but David would not have done that if he would have had the indwelling of the Holy Ghost inside of him. He wouldn't have done what he did. Amen? So under the law, though, he was condemned because, remember, Nathan comes on the scene, the prophet for the hour, comes on the scene and says, David, he gave him a little parable, and David said, kill the man. Nathan said, David, you're the man I'm talking about. But David, I prayed for you. You're not going to die. Thank God we had a prophet show up in the end time and say, I prayed for you. And now you can make it. You're not going to die. Oh, we may physically have to go, but somebody's not going to. According to what the message of the hour, the prophet in the end time told us, I prayed for you. I prayed for you, people. You're going to make it. Somebody's going to make this thing. Amen? Why not just believe it's you? Colossians 1, verse 15. But remember, Lord Jesus Christ, headship. Christ, man, and the woman. And we know that, you know what? You and I are what? You and I are the female. Everybody got that? All of us, male, men and women, under the headship of being bride, what do? We take the veil. I'm working on something there. We're looking back in traditions about the veil. The only person that didn't wear a veil back in the really old times and way back was prostitutes and people that were married. Because you'd already you had a veil on, and when you got married, you took that veil off. Amen? And you become what? You become Mrs. whoever that was standing there. That's the same way with me and you. We don't have to wear a veil again. We ought to let the world know we're married to Jesus Christ. Because the world knew when you were married and you walked down the street, they didn't have wedding rings back then. It was a testimony, though, that either you were a prostitute, which meant you had already been married a few hundred times, or you were married to a husband, and then they said, oh, that person's married. Well, can people do me and you the same way? Oh, there goes a Christian. Because that's our outward appearance. That's the only way the world's going to see it, right? Amen? I don't know why y'all quiet today. I ain't really got on you yet. Colossians 1 verse 15, not going to. Colossians 1 verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. We read this Wednesday. Let's go down to 18. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So God had to come in human flesh. We know that. We've been talking about it for 17 sermons. That God came down in human flesh to show us how to act when God would come inside of us. Amen. I mean, it's really simple. And if you don't portray it, then you don't have the fruits of the Spirit inside of you like Jesus Christ did. Everybody okay with that? All right, now let's go to number one quote where Brother Brown says, but the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of it all. Jesus came on the scene. Now remember, he was the fullness of the word, right? Ever with God. But he still learned by the things he suffered. And being made perfect. We read those scriptures. You say, oh no, Jesus. Well, humanly, he was not perfect. He was God. There was nothing wrong with his word. He didn't have to take his word back. But there were certain things as a human being that thank God they didn't put it in the put it in here. But you know, like Brother Dale always said, he thought God, Jesus was so much God that he couldn't stump his toe or he couldn't. No. No, he got splinters. He fell and busted his knee and probably busted his head. Where's Jonas at? Jonas back there in the back got a little, got a knot on his eyeball where he fell and hit the corner of the table at his house. Well, you know what? Jesus probably had a shiner too. If y'all didn't know what that is, a shiner is something you get, you know, when somebody pops you in the eye or you fall and hit something. But Jesus was that way because he learned by the things he suffered, even when he was 13 years old in the temple, doing the work of his father, right? The Bible says after they found him, he became subject unto them. He didn't turn around and say, now bless God, I'm God. No. Could have. But that wasn't in him to do that. It wasn't in him to say that. It was in him to say, okay, I got to learn. I know I got to learn. I know who my father is, number one. See, that's what we've got, all of us today, we've got to learn who our father is. Amen? Listen, your father may be a natural father, he may be gone, but your spiritual father, if you're born again, is God. All right, so God's your father. So you're not fatherless. All right, so the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. Here comes the head of all of it. Jesus came on the scene. Now, we talked about headship. Headship means power, authority, and honor. Listen, everything comes from the head. Everything. All your intelligence, the whatever makes my hand move, the reason I'm gesturing with my hand is because my brain is telling it to do that. Right? That's exactly what it's doing. It's telling me exactly, you know, or, you know, that hurt. So don't do that again. But it all comes from the head. So Christ is the head, and that's what we've been looking at for the past 17 sermons. But what happened was, is back in the first church age, when Jesus Christ left, they didn't understand full headship. Is everybody okay with that? They didn't. I'll read where your Brother Brown tells. He said they had just enough. Just enough to get born again. Just enough to say, I'm a born-again believer. Just enough to say, God is my Father, and I'm going to live a good Christian life. Now, that's what the prophet of God said. But remember, the Son of Man stood one day and says, I don't have a place to lay my head. We were talking about that Wednesday. He said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Well, he didn't have a place. He couldn't rest. Listen, on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost. That was the rest. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Brother Brown said it wasn't a day. It was what happened to them. Like he's talking about Saturday, you know, everybody wants to, well, not everybody, but the Jehovah's Witness and all the Sabbatarians want to do it on Saturday, which is fine, that's okay. But Sunday we honor the resurrection. But he said there was no day, the Bible even tells you, Paul tells you, there's no day that you're supposed to, listen, we're supposed to have Sunday every day. We're supposed to portray the resurrection every day. When you get up, listen, when you get older, I'm 62 now. It is a resurrection when I get up every morning. For some of y'all young ones that just jump up and throw your shoes on and your hair around and throw a little deodorant and head out the door, God bless you. You get a little bit older and you'd be like, I need to do this in shifts. Feet, get up. Arms, but you know what? That's the part of getting older. But the resurrection should be every day. Because the resurrection being every day, what was he was the first to raise? Headship. He was the everything he did was first. He was the first fruits. He was the first one to be born without sex. Born. Now see, Adam wasn't born. You say, oh, no, Adam. No, Adam was created. Adam wasn't born. Jesus was the first one to be born without sex. He was the first one to have the preeminence in his life that the Father spoke to him and he did what the Father said. And then he what? Taught us that. And then they killed him, put him in a grave, and he was the first one to resurrect by himself. I want y'all to understand that. Jesus had to pray for Lazarus to be resurrected. There had to be prayer for Jairus' daughter to be resurrected. There had to be somebody intercede. Who interceded for Jesus? No. He stood up one day and he said, you destroy this body and I'll raise it up in 3 days. He didn't say the second person of a Trinity or he didn't even say my Father. He said, I'll raise it back up. Folks, we're going to take that to a grave one day. Graves. And they'll resurrect from that right there. That's what they'll resurrect from. That the resurrection's inside of you. And then the call is going to come from what? The bride. The bride is going to make that call. It's not going to be, now listen, don't get me wrong, it's not going to be God telling Jesus, Jesus telling the preacher telling us. I know that's how you get communication. But you're not going to have to call Brother Dale, Brother Bob, and say, can I go out there? I just got a real feeling that I can get raise somebody from the dead today. You ain't got to call nobody. Because adoption is the name on the checkbook. Yeah, right. Listen, if I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but if Jesus wrote the check and cashed it, and he gives you power and authority to write the check and cash it, see where we're at. See what we're looking at when this adoption comes. That's why adoption is really been portrayed all down through centuries from Israel all the way to today. But it's got to pertain to something else. It's not an adoption like you have a different set of parents and you're adopted. No, it's adoption. And we'll talk about it in just a few minutes. We'll go through the tutors and the governors. Is that okay? But that's what I want to get to because that's what's holding us back, folks. Listen. We can have a church full, and I pray, of born-again believers from the front door to the back door. Right. And still the resurrection won't come. Right. Until we come to maturity. Yes. Until we come, as Brother Donnie and a different one said, you know, the teaching part of it, Brother Bob, the teaching part of it is what we need to bring us. You know, I just don't understand how a preacher in this message can stand up and say we don't need teaching anymore. Well, you know why he said that? He needed teaching. I mean, that's the whole thing. He needed teaching. You know, people get up and they say, well, I'm not of this or I'm not of that. And you're like, you're the very thing that you complain about. Most of us are. Hello. So anyway, Beam, remember Beam and 2x4 and toothpick? Okay. But we need teaching. Because as you read it today, teaching places you. I want to be placed because, it's great being a Christian. I love it. I've had a good 20-something year run of being a true born-again Christian, and I love it. But what am I still doing here? I'm getting older. I got more birthdays coming up. I'm heading toward an end. But not if you're born again. Not if you're born again. Not to if you take what this message means. Sure, this message means, and we'll get to it in just a little while, it is do's and don'ts. It is a schoolmaster to start you off with.
Right,
but now if you're still having a problem with your hair and your dress and your men, you know, having a little beer every once in a while and saying a cuss word every once in a while, you're not born again.
Right.
Period.
Amen.
Sorry.
Right.
You just ain't.
Right.
So work from there.
Right.
Okay? That's babies. And you can be a baby. Not a problem. We all started babies. But I can't stand a 60-year-old crying baby.
Amen?
I mean, back to diapers and no teeth and screaming and crying and, yeah. You understand what I'm saying? God told Moses one day, said, you speak to that rock. And he messed up because he wasn't in the right position. Because he smote the rock. And when he smote the rock, I was just reading it this morning. God said, Moses, I love you. I appreciate you. You did everything I told you to do except one thing. Now, you see what I mean? What is our promised land? Sure, it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but our promised land is the change of the body. And our promised land is adoption. That's what you see that Moses and them went through the wilderness, and then Joshua took them into the land to place them, according to adoption. He placed them in the land. Moses didn't get to go because one thing he did, God said, I told you to speak to it, and said, you hit it, and you hit it, didn't hit it one time, you hit it twice.
Right. Yeah.
Disobedience. One thing. Look how great Moses was.
Right.
Spoke lip to ear to God. And God said, because you didn't do one thing. In other words, you exalted yourself. The prophet said, you exalted yourself above me when you had to hit the rock because it was something you did, Moses. You were supposed to speak it and then go forward. That's the same way with me and you. It's not going to be, and don't get me wrong, it's not going to be how many hands we lay on and how much we scream and shout. Right here. Right here. Headship. The head is the only place you can talk from. Your body just displays what you're talking about. I know sometimes people say things and their body don't follow behind it. But that's kind of the way we are with Jesus Christ because he's the head and we're the body. And sometimes we don't do what he says. Why? Because we're not adopted. We've not come to a place to where he can say, here's the checkbook. Now we'll get to that in just a little bit. But let's go to Psalms 85:9. That thing just not going to get any brighter, Richard. It's dying, isn't it? Lay hands on the sick. That thing's been good, though. It's been up there a long time. I'm talking about the projector. But that's why we're trying to get this finished over here so that we can have some really clear numbers. But I'm sorry if you can't see that. But I love this scripture. It says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. See, something had to come together. Listen, a husband and wife has to come together before a child's born. So God had to become man so that he could connect with us. That he could come back on the day of Pentecost and say, that's my bride. But that wasn't all. I want to have a baby, but I don't want that baby to stay a baby. I want that baby to grow. Grow in grace and knowledge. Mercy and truth are met. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of what? Out of this earth. Not the ball. We're not talking about the ball of the earth. We're talking about this earth. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Number two, in the Laodicean church age, the prophet of God said, when God created himself a body, he's talking about Revelations 3:14. When God created himself a body, he came down and lived in it. Isn't that familiar? Isn't that what he did on the day of Pentecost? We say, oh no, that was when April, when we, Christmas time, you know, when little baby Jesus was born, God came and lived in it. Yeah, okay, well, that's how it got started. But that's not going to do you any good until he comes and lives in you. Really simple. When God created himself a body, and that's what he's doing now. He's creating himself a body. A bride. A bride body. He came down and lived in it. That's the beginning of the creation of God. Now remember, he's the beginning, but what? You and I are the continuation of that. Amen? You and I are the continuation. Wake up! Amen. We've got some nurses. If we have heart failure, then we... I got some nitroglycerin somewhere that I don't need to take anymore, thank God. But I got it so in case some of y'all need it when I do that. I want you to stroke out on me. But just don't go to sleep. It is warm. It is warm up here, but that's okay. When God created himself a body, he came down and lived in it. That's the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Hebrews 5 verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learn he obedience by the things we suffer. Now, we're going to get into that in Galatians, where Paul picks that up in adoption. Because, see, that's me and you. I'm telling you, folks, we're pushing all these scriptures to, well, you're talking about Jesus. Well, you're talking about, no, I'm talking about you. Are you not a son of God? Though he were a son. Though Donnie Fawbush is a son. He can't be was a son. If you were born, you're always going to be a son. You may have different titles, but you're always going to be a son of something. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And be made perfect. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even my Father in heaven. Why? He opened the door to perfection. Listen, I know he was God Almighty in human flesh, but he lived a human life, but he was Almighty God. Now, can you not live a human life and be Almighty God? Yes, you can. If you'll yield yourself like he did. He's given us that opportunity. He's opened that door. I am the door. Listen, he may have shut it to the world, but he's left it open to me and you. Right. Open door, open book. We're in all the open everything. Open heaven, open skies. Amen. Just reach in and get it. Right. It's wonderful to say, oh, that door's open, that door's open. There's $1 million inside there. That door's open. You can stand out there and you can die of poverty. Amen. Until you go get it. Until you go get it. I was talking to Brother Chris Long the other day, and he's been preaching on Statue of Perfect Man. I'm glad everybody started preaching on Statue of Perfect Man. I am glad that. But he said, look, he said, he showed me a picture, and he drew a line, because right here there's a line with a, you know, like a point. A line pointing up like this. He said, every time you come to each one of these, you come to a crossroad. A cross.
Right.
Road. Every one of them, you come to a crossroad. Why? You can either continue or you can stop. Or you can go in another direction. Because Brother Branham, he's talking about, he said, oh, you get all the way up here and you ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. Well, that's what seals you in the true baptism. Not that you got a false one, but you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a baby form. Baby. And it's okay to cry. But man, God doesn't want people to cry.
Right.
He's made you and give you the open book and the open door and the open revelation so that you can take what he had. Listen, show me in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus had to beg for anything. Work it up. I was reading the other day, you know, he was dealing with those demons, and the demons was telling him what to do. Remember? Demon says, no, don't let us go in those swine over there. And all Jesus said was, go. He didn't have to build anything up. But his presence, when he walked up to that maniac of Gadara, the legion that had thousands of demons in him, the demon said, why have you come here, thou son of God? See, they were in the spirit world. That's why some people don't like you. I got something in my pocket. Brother Dick Addison gave me, and I'm going to read it. You ready? Brother Dick gave me this a long time ago. He said, some people will never like you because your spirit irritates their demons. One more time. Some people will never like you because your spirit irritates their demons. That's what I want to happen. Listen, if you don't like me, you got a problem. I don't. You do. I think that's his handwriting. I thought maybe Gail did it, but nope, that's Dick's handwriting. Thank God. Thank God we knew a man named Dick Addison. But you know what? A lot of people didn't like Dick. A lot of people didn't like Dick. Why? He was different. That's okay. I like different. Maybe your demons got irritated by his spirit. Think about that. Chew on that for a week and figure out what's going on. Go to work and say, okay. But look, we're heading towards something. Let's get back to the subject. And being made perfect, he became the author. Now, being an author, he had to write something. Right? Being an author, he had what? And the author is the originator. He wrote this book so that we can live it. Is everybody okay with that? Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? Obey him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Isn't that what Samuel told Saul? Saul said, I think I'll do it my way. I'm going to save them because I'm going to get some information from them kings. And we're going to take some of them cows. We're going to take some of them horses. And we're going to take some of them mules. And we're going to add it to my kingdom. What's the first thing Samuel said? He said, I hear something I'm not supposed to be hearing. I hear the bleating of the sheep. And I hear the cows mooing. Didn't God tell you? I told you, Saul, to kill everything. Men, women, children, and animals. And there was Og and the other king sitting there. Well, what's the first thing Samuel done? Samuel says, Saul, the kingdom's been ripped from you, rendered from you, because you didn't do what God said. Here we go again. Somebody didn't do something God said. He took the kingdom away from Saul and gave it to one better, which we know it was David. But what did Samuel do? He didn't just walk out the door. Prophets must have carried swords too. Because he pulled his sword and cut both of them's head off. Pretty messy. You say, oh, he's a nice prophet. Yeah, he's nice when you did what he said. But he's the one that killed the two kings that were supposed to die. Amen. Obedience, then, true, we see is great, better than sacrifice. Right. Okay? Obedience. Right. He wasn't obedient. But this man was obedient. Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighted on him. Now, this is the beginning. And we're going to get to this just in a minute. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and light on him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Right. All right? Now, that was at your new birth. God said the same thing to you. We've already been through that. But now, he was not well pleased to hear you him. Right. He was pleased to help you start your journey. Right. Yeah. Okay? He was pleased to help you start your journey. Then he gave you what? Tutors and governors, we'll read in just a minute, to help you along the way. Listen, if you deny headship anywhere down the line, pastor's the head of the church. There's always headship. Christ is the head of the bride. You're the head of your wife. And you know, the Bible tells you to treat your wife the way you want God to treat you. You better be careful. Thank you, some of you. Some of you maybe need to think about that. But that's what the Bible says. The Bible tells you that. We've seen women through the ages, they take that stuff literal, which is, you know, that's their people's business. But listen, your wife's not dog meat if she's born again. She is not dog meat. She is not to be run over. Amen. But you sisters are not supposed to be the head of the family either. So you see what the balance is. There's a wonderful balance there. If we'll get in the balance, instead of having to be, you know, people forget where they came from. People forget that Christ with loving hands saved your heart and saved your soul. Amen. And then you become obedient to him. And even when you're not obedient to him, he doesn't slap you down on the ground. What's our worst enemy, God or me? Right? You. God's not your worst enemy. You are. You beat yourself up way more than God beats you up. Because he does it with nail-scarred hands. Meanest man I know, number three. We'll get here real quick. Jesus' first doctrine was what? Ye must be born again. We went through that before. Now let's go to number four. It is the rising of the sun. He said, I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church, to a theory. See, that's why we need a fivefold ministry. We need a fivefold ministry. We need an evangelist to come by and stir up. Get your heart mellow. Get your heart pliable where then somebody can come in then and teach you. All right? That's the way it works. And it works perfect because you know what? God said, if you'll listen to these five, it'll perfect you. Pretty simple. Well, why don't we do it? I mean, we do, but I mean, why does not the world just fall over and say, well, we'll just do it? No. People don't want headship. If you're not born again, you're going to deny headship. And who's you? You deny headship. Christ don't deny headship. You're denying headship. All right? I'm afraid too many of us are not getting the people to Christ. We're getting them to a church or a theory. But we must get them to Christ. He is the only one and the only one that has life. All right? There's not life in anything else. Let's go to Matthew 17, verse 5. And while he yet spake, now this is Jesus from Matthew 2 or 3 when he was born as a baby to now Matthew 17. He's only 6 months, the prophet said. He's only 6 months away from dying. So what am I saying? It may take your whole life to come to that place. But you can come to that place if you'll be obedient. I mean, Jesus was 30 years walking. And then 3 years of ministry before Jesus was taken in type up on a mountain. He was taken on a mountain and overshadowed and said, hear ye him. Now while he yet spake, behold, a bright light overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the same thing he said 3 years before. But he added a little something to it. He'd come to a position. He said, hear ye him. And when they had lifted their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. That's verse 8. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell this vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now we know what happened. The Son of Man was rejected, put on a cross, ascended up, the Son of Man ascended, and came back the Son of God on the day of Pentecost. Has everybody got that? So the headstone stayed up there where it was because man had shut him off. I'm just telling you what the prophet said. Because the Son of Man didn't come till the end time. All right? And his disciples said, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said to them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. We got to have a restoration back to what? Back to the truth. Right. We lost the truth. That's why God couldn't work except a little bit in Luther and a little bit in Wesley and a little bit in Pentecost. Right. Remember, I'll read the quote. But now let's go to the next one right there. Whoever's running the... But now look, here's Matthew 17, verse 5. Jesus has come to a place where God says, hear ye him. Brother Brown said 6 months later, they crucified him. Well, between that time, that 6 months of his 3.5 year ministry, kind of strange, he preached the seals. He didn't preach the seals in Matthew 4, 8, 10, not even 17. He preached them in Matthew 24. So he had to come to a position. Listen, the prophet of God preached on the seals. Clarence Larkin preached on the seals. This one preached on the seals. But Brother Branham had to come to a place of adoption. He had to go out to Arizona and be positionally placed before he could preach the real revelation of the seals, his real message. Not that the other message was false. Okay? But he preached the seals in Matthew 24. Now let's look at the order, and this is how me and you are supposed to come. You can't come any other way because you know what? This is the way Jesus came. He's first fruits, right? He's the one who came to maturity first. He's the one that took a rapture first. He's the one that took a body change first. Everybody got that? So, what was his first sermon? 3.5 years ago from this moment of death on this side. You must be born again. Pleased to dwell. Same thing with you if you're born again today. All right? Then you got, he had to come through a what? A time of obedience. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Obedience. Learn he obedience. Learned we obedience by the things we suffered. Suffered? Yeah. Read all them the way Brother Branham explained them. And what it does, it really just grabs at the root of you and pulls everything out of you that your old nature was. If you had a temper, maybe you didn't want to lose it. But if you keep praying enough, God's going to jerk it out. I'll hold my hand up. Patience. 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 Jim's stepmom had a sign in her kitchen that said, "Lord, give me patience, but I want it right now." Isn't that the way we are, though? They that wait upon the Lord. All right, so here's your birth. He's pleased to dwell in you. He don't want you to stay a baby. So Jesus learned by the things he suffered, learned he obedience by the things he suffered. Then he had to go up, then he went up on a mountain. All this life of 3 years that he lived of ministry, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing the different things he was doing, listening to God. So he takes him up on a mountain and says, "Now hear ye him," and brings it to adoption or placing. That's what he's got to do to me and you. Because see, here's our problem in the message. We want to go from right here to right here and skip all that in between. We want to go from kindergarten to calculus 202 in, you know, our sophomore year in college. Michael, it ain't happening, buddy. Sorry. Right? Man, calculus was hard for me. All of those stuff was easy, but calculus, all them other, oh, man. So anyway, but you know what? I had to learn. If I took my courses like I was supposed to take them, then I'd understand it later on. You must be born again, so pleased to dwell. Then everybody don't want to. Lord, I need patience. Lord, I need virtue. I need knowledge. I just want to get right here. Well, if my boss is mean at me, I'll just zap him right out of existence. I'll make his car blow up. Because I don't like him. I hate him. Whoa. We need some temperance, number one. And then we need some patience, number two. And you surely don't present any godliness in that scenario. Okay? I want to ask you a question. Be honest with me. You don't raise your hand. How many of you are working at a job that you worked when you weren't born again? And now you're working in the same job, now you're born again. How do you react? I don't mean the same job physically in the same building, but say I work for the post office. and then I got born again, and then I still work for the post office. Is there something different? Do you handle things different? You better have. Because if you're still, if they still think you're that same old person, you're not born again. You gotta get in line. You gotta get in the line. Here's the lineup. You must be born again. God pleased to dwell in you. Obedience. Come to church. Read your Bible. Pray. Say, God, help that preacher that's going to preach to me today. How many of you did that this morning? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you embarrassed. Listen, folks, a lot of y'all just come to church just because you want to come to church. Now, some of y'all don't come to church half the time, but that's okay. You'll learn somewhere. If you get born again, you'll want to be here. Okay? You don't have to preach about it. You want to be here. But look, don't try to be a witness when you're still in kindergarten. Okay? You got to become a son, and we'll talk about it in just a second. Obedience. My whole life, your whole life is built on obedience. Right?
Right.
You get out today, and when I say dismissed, you're going to go out that door right there, most of you. Right? But you're not going to get up and leave until I dismiss. That's obedience. Then you're going to go downstairs, and you're not going to eat somebody else's food. Well, unless you're me and Sister Cleta. But you're not going to go over there and sit at the table and start eating my hamburger. What? You've learned something. You be obedient. You're going to get your hand slapped. God's going to slap your hand every once in a while, right? But now what's a little kid going to do? One of them little kids go like, wow, cheeseburger. Don't ask who it is. They're just going to grab it. Why? Because they may be a son, but they learned by the things they suffered. Obedience. You go get in your car and guess what? You're obedient to the laws of the land. Amen?
Yes.
You stop at that stop sign because what? That's what you're obedient. So see, we've learned obedience in the world. So now let's take that obedience and learn it from God. To get into the, not to get into the do's and the don'ts of the Old Testament. We'll get into it in just a second. But it's a love affair now. Listen, June cooks me dinner because she wants to. A lot of times I don't want anything to eat, but she's, please eat, you know, I'll fix it. See, that's a love affair. That's not a, hey, listen, sisters and brothers, if y'all have to get up and have to make somebody do something, God bless you. No, God help you.
Yes.
Right? God help you. But see, we learn obedience, though. Then what does God do? God says, okay, now I wrote the check. See, I got the checkbook. God said, I got the checkbook. And I'm going to write a check, as Brother Branham would always say, Bank of Heaven. You got a daddy now because you've been born into the family. So you're connected to the inheritance. We're going to read it in just a minute. You're connected to the inheritance. Everybody got that? All right. Once you're connected to the inheritance, you get a check, but it's already written because you don't know what to write it for. And you might write it for $1 million and you ain't got $2 in the bank. But if God writes it for $1 million, signs the check and hands it to you, you can go to the bank with it. Healing, same way. Deliverance, same way. Salvation, same way. Amen? But now when you come down to here, that's what we got to get to. He hands you the blank check. Then he knows you're not going to write it for $1 million if you've only got $2 in the bank. Because you've been obedient. You've been taught. You've been taught to ask, and you shall receive. Hear ye him. It's where we're coming to. To the part of adoption. And then, now, don't get me wrong. I got the seals way down here. To me, that's the opening to you. Not when somebody preaches them. Or not when you sit down and you want to listen to the 60-something tapes that Brother Dale preached in 1982, which you should, if you want to understand the seals. But see, you're listening to them up here, but the culmination of the seals is when we leave this place. Everybody okay? Full. Full redemption. The opening of the seventh seal is Christ is back on earth again. Where? In his bride. Because he's not coming. He's already here in me and you. But we've got to understand that. What? We've got to become obedient by the stature of a perfect man, by listening to apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body. So that's the order. Everybody okay with that? That's the order. I want to read this quote here. What visions are in 1956. We read this the other day. And from then on down, it's been a day where the light went out, the red. And it's been a daylight enough that you could see that Jesus was the Son of God. You should repent. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. He was as pleased to dwell in Martin Luther sitting in a pub drinking beer, smoking a pipe. Because Martin Luther said, the just shall live by faith. I am protesting what's going on in the religious world. And God said, I'm going to use that. Right. Now, the other things, Wesley what? He did away with that. Pentecost, the gifts came up, and then we had the Word of God come. Is everybody okay with that? See, God works the same way. He don't just dump everything on top of you. That's why the church ages, if you don't read the church age book and get a good understanding of the church ages and how God walked through the church ages, you just might as well not read the seal book. Because you're not going to understand it. See, daylight enough that you could see that Jesus was the Son of God, you should repent. But the real bright light, I'm telling you what the prophet said. You can read it for yourself. But the real bright light of the Holy Ghost has never shined through these ages. Wow. It took a prophet to say that. Me and you going to say that? No. A prophet told us that. Certainly the Bible said it wouldn't, as the prophet said it wouldn't. Just as sure he said they couldn't believe because Isaiah said there hasn't been light. Remember, there'll be light in the evening time. That's been enough light to know that you ought to do right and wrong. That's been enough light now that you believe on resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Every Christian believes that's what it's based on. Accept him as your personal Savior. That's what it's based on. Put your name on the church book and live the good life. But as far as signs and wonders and the direct ray of the sun shining, it hasn't been since Pentecost, and that wasn't 1906. That was AD 30. Everybody got that? I'm just telling you what the prophet of God said. So there had to be, in the church ages, there had to be a growth. But no one was there to teach you the growth. Listen, Luther wasn't standing in the Sardisian church age and said, I'm the messenger to Sardis, and this is my message. No, he just preached the message. The just shall live by faith. But he took a prophet of God in the end time to reveal these things, put everything together. That's why that if these people that are denying that Brother Branham was a prophet, well, folks, even in his error, he was real good. If they say error, I'm not saying error. I'm just saying he didn't preach error. Now he preached things that wasn't right at one time. But see, there you go, progressive revelation. He sets down in the seals, and he sets down and he starts writing the same notes that he was writing when he was preaching the Mighty Conqueror, when the seals wasn't open to him, when he was what? Growing in grace and knowledge. And he preached that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. Conquering the ages, conquering this. And he's sitting there writing the same thing, but now see, God has brought him to adoption. And God said, William Branham, I've let you do that for a few years for you to learn. But today, you can't preach that. Because now, it's hear ye him time. No, that man that you preached on the white horse is the Antichrist. Remember what Brother Brown said? He said, I would have made a horrible mistake today when the Holy Ghost hadn't come into the room. And what corrected him on what I'm almost verbatim quoting it. Why? Brother Brown had come to an adoption. He come to a place to where, and yeah, listen, from 47 to 65, you're supposed to listen to him, okay? Okay? But the real message he had was when the seals broke. Not in the years of preparation. But the trumpet we're supposed to listen to is when the seals open. Not saying don't listen to the rest. Listen, because what is the rest? The rest of it is foundation. Just like me and you, foundation wide, way down here. But all of a sudden, you come up to where this is only about 7 feet wide. Seal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We got a seven seal mystery. But what did he say it did, though? He said it opened the entire book. So now you and me, at the opening of the seals, we can go back down here, teach it, preach it, talk about it, and what? Let somebody carry you up. Let somebody what? Pull you up the mountain. Some of us kicking and screaming. Some of us not, but me kicking and screaming. So now, to save time, let's go all the way, if y'all don't mind, go all the way to where it says Colossians 1, verse 18. And whoever's running it, I don't know. Anderson, who's running it back there? Okay. So scroll all the way to Colossians 1, 18. I want to get to this right here. Let's just look. You know, we always, thank you. We always say that there's three stages of grace, right? Three stages of your birth. Justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. But we had the prophet come in the end time and said there's four. Amen? There's four. Justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost, and the Word opened. The Word being revealed, all right? That's what we're coming to. So if y'all, some of y'all got that written down, that I wrote down on there, it's birth, growth, adoption, and seals. Which is obedience, hear ye him, and headship. That's what was rejected. That little part right up there was the opening of the seals, because Christ was the seals. He preached them himself. And then he had to, what, go away, because no one would understand that part. They would understand this part. Because listen, Peter, James, and John had these virtues working in their life, because 2 Peter, I didn't read it, I skipped over it. Peter's the one that told you how to live that. Add to your faith, virtue, and your verse of knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience. And it'll make you. It will make you. Verse 8, 2 Peter, don't go back to it. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that's not what why we're not getting what we're supposed to get. But he that lacketh these things is blind. And cannot see afar off. Revelation. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. So let's go to Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in all, should all fullness dwell. Now right here real quick, let's go to number 7. The prophet of God tells us, somebody asked him, are you the Son of Man? That was questions and answers. Are you the Son of Man? Be awake just for a minute with me here. It's coming. You saw it coming and you still jumped. Quit that. But the question was, are you the Son of Man? I'm not he. I'm his servant. And look, this is kind of, Brother Bob, this kind of got me a little bit, but still it's a position. The pillar of fire is not him. Because the pillar of fire is right here. Listen, the Son of Man is inside of me and you, and you can't see nothing except what me and you do. You can have a pillar of fire all over your head, and you can have it all over your body and be the devil. Hello? But if you got him inside of you, you can never be the devil. The pillar of fire is not he. It's in spirit form, which was upon the Son of Man. Has come now to anoint sons of men. To bring back a ministry just exactly like he said it would be. In order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. That's a promise. But look, watch. Scroll it up. I'm going to read it right here. The pyramid of Enoch was built. We find the pyramid. They never did get the headstone on. If you see the pyramid, there's a flat top on it. Don't go to a point. Flat top. Flat top. The headstone's yet to come. That's 1964. Because Brother Brown knew that when the headstone hit, listen, he'd already preached the seal, so he knew there was somebody going to come to that. Somebody was going to make it to that. The seven steps in the pyramid, we'll go through that someday. I'd like to show you how it really is perfect with the scripture. And now if you notice on your American dollar, he talks about the dollar, scroll it on up. Down to here. When that stone comes, it'll be a great diamond fitting right down in there just perfect. We showed you the picture of it. Just perfect with it. Because see, it's got to be inside of you, not just laying on top of you. It's got to be down inside of you. It's got to... husband and wife. Husband and wife. Uniting time where nothing can take you apart. I want to say this real quick. Sisters and brothers, young sisters and brothers. Hold on to your virginity. That's the greatest thing. They can't nobody take that away from you except some stinking man or your beautiful husband or wife. So see, God's got to have a bride. A virtuous, sinless bride. You say, oh, wait, I've done so much stuff. Hold on. I'm telling you what God said. By the transforming power of God, something happened. But you girls, like Brother Brown said, he said, you can be what? Forgiven, but you can't be justified. You never go back being a virgin again. Right. Ladies and gentlemen that are not now sitting in this building, is that not true? Amen. That's the greatest thing you can do, is keep yourself and give yourself to one man or one woman. And you and I, as the bride of Jesus Christ, give ourselves to one man. Amen. And that's Jesus Christ. Quit messing around with all these other things. Quit messing around with these ideas that we got. I'm talking about all of us. Amen. I want that diamond not just lay on top. I want it to drive inside of me so hard till you can't pull it apart. Amen. Once that head gets on that body, you can't pull it apart. But that's what is coming now. Brother Bram knew it wasn't then. It's coming now. This is when it's going to happen. Now that stone will not fit down on the bottom foundation. Neither will it fit on the second or the third. It only fits on the top foundation. He's talking about the seventh church age. When the entire building has become the fitted the stone, and Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers, and the ministry that he wants what? He once had the 3.5 year ministry of Jesus Christ. Was there an error in that 3.5 year ministry of Jesus Christ? No. Well, you don't see it this way, and I don't see it that way, and it's 3.5 or 7. There is a truth, folks, and it's one truth. They ain't three different truths. There's not two different truths. I like what Brother Brown said. Brother Brown said, look, either you're right and I'm wrong, or we're both wrong because we both can't be right. Think about that. It only fits the top foundation when the entire building has become fitted to the stone. And Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers. And the ministry that he wants will have to be the same as it was. What? What's he trying to say? He's stumbling through this, but it's the same ministry of Jesus Christ. The same 3.5 year message of Jesus Christ. Then without us cannot be made perfect. Paul said in Hebrews 11, without us they cannot be perfected. They must have this ministry to raise up the Lutherans, Wesleyans, and all them down through their ages. Let's read Galatians real quick, and that's what we'll get started on next week, next Sunday. Let's go to Galatians 3, verse 18. And we'll break it down, but to me, this explains everything. Real quick, and then musicians come. All right, look. For if the inheritance be of the law. Now, what is our inheritance? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's our promise. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The promise is, I, God, am going to give you eternal life. Okay? That's the promise. Promise has been all the way since Adam. For the, and it's our inheritance. For the inheritance, if the inheritance be of the law, then it's no more promise. If you'll do this and don't do that. No. No. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Abraham, I don't care what you're going to do. I'm going to give you the promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? This is Paul now. It was added because of transgression. Listen, it had to be added before Christ came. So that you could at least have some kind of a spiritual rudder. You could know that you did something wrong. Know you were a sinner. Know that you need to make a sacrifice. But you made a sacrifice every year for the same identical thing. Listen, if you're beating yourself up now for the same identical thing you ask God to forgive you for, you got to start forgiving yourself. Because God's going to say, what are you talking about? Where'd you get that from? I think that's way down in that sea they call forgetfulness. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. What? Till the seed should come to who the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. The Old Testament. The prophets wrote about this man coming. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now, watch. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. So, in other words, understand this. You don't throw the law out. Because the law is God. God said, there's only one God. God said, honor your father and mother. God said, that wasn't a third person said that. God said that. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life. That's why you got to understand there was no eternal life given to anybody in the Old Testament except for Adam and Eve. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. In other words, Jesus wouldn't have to come. The law would have saved you. But the scripture hath concluded all. I like Paul. All of you are sinners. So he said, right? That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, that's why that faith is down there at the bottom. The faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, look, before faith came, where were we? We were in the world. Condemned by the law of God. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Right? Because that's what's going to condemn you is the law. Not just totally the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments are pretty much all the law. But look, the law then, though, when you came to Christ, there was a schoolmaster. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, you don't need the law to tell you do's and don'ts. Like I said before, like Brother Dale's always said, you sisters, you men, if you get born again, you will not do the things you used to do. Right. Now, if you halfway get there, yeah. Like I said before, your old husband's got to be dead, not divorced. Because he will always pop his head back up. But once you kill him and put him in a grave, nah, he ain't coming back. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. We've moved up because, man, look, you can stop right here, Paul, and we just don't need nothing. We got the new birth. But he's not done yet. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now go to the next. This is the continuation. He comes down to Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say, see, he could have left that up there. What we just read before, you don't need a schoolmaster anymore. In other words, you just go right on to college. First grade, right on to college. That's not the way it is. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he's a what? Child. Differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors. He does need some more teaching.
Amen.
He does need to be taught.
Amen.
But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, babies, newborn babies, that's not a problem. Staying there is the problem. We're in bondage under the elements of the world. That's okay. There was things, you know, I try to say, well, you should never do anything that you did in the world. Now, that's not totally true. You understand what I'm saying? You don't go to the bar anymore. You don't go grab the beer out of the refrigerator. You don't go watch this, or that's gone. But there's still some things that we humanly do that make mistakes. You were in bondage under the elements of the world. Look, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That was us. We were under the law, dead, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now watch. Adoption of sons, not adoption. I'm going to read it in Romans 8. We receive the spirit of adoption when you get born again. You don't receive adoption. Adoption and your new birth is two different things, totally. I'll read you the quote next week. Brother Branham said, your new birth is not your adoption. All right, so it's two separate things. That we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, you've got to be a son first before you can receive the adoption. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, babies, crying, daddy, daddy. That's what that means. Father, father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Come on, musicians. We'll stop right there. But look, it's all a process. Why do you think we've all been here? Some of us have been in this message since the 60s. 70s, 80s, and we're in 2022. 2022. 2022? We were about not getting to 1972 at one time. But we're here. Why are we here? We still got baby stuff. All of us. But listen, there should be a time that we grow up. Let's stand. Grow up in God. How can I do it? I just read you the formula. Tutors and governors. Come to church, read your Bible, listen to tape, listen to the preacher, listen to the evangelist we bring in, listen to the Sunday school teacher, and everything is going to listen. If you're born again, God's obligated to give you the word. If you're born again and you sit down and say, God, I don't know what that man's saying, but you said you'd tell me because I'm a son. And my heir, the heir, what I have, the promise that I have is all this. You promised me faith. You promised me virtue. You promised me knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. You promised me that I'd come to a place to where my name was as good on the checkbook as yours. And I wouldn't write a bad check. Amen? I'd write the check that God wants you to write. That's what me and you have got to come to. The mind of God working in a group of people. Sing it. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore. David. David said, create in me a new heart.
Oh, create in me a new heart. Oh, God.
Is that your desire this morning?
And renew a right spirit within me.
Sing it to him.
Oh, create in me a clean.
Listen, everybody's wanting to go find this third pull and all these things. It's God pulling you up that. That's what the third pull is. It's God pulling you up that statue of a perfect man to where your name is as good on the checkbook as the Father's. And that's what He wants. It's not something that we're going to come to and surprise God. He's made a way for it to be that way. It's a requirement in this age for us to come to that. If not, either we're not born again or we're just not going to, you're not going to take a body change. But God said He would do it, folks, if we would ask Him. We sing that song, I Feel the Pull. Do you really feel a pull? Do you really feel God pulling? You know, when you pull up vegetables and you pull up all these things, you're pulling up, you're uprooting. I want God to uproot me, and plant Himself inside of me. Uproot me, Lord. Take it all, because you know what? There's some weeds in there. There might be some good carrots or some good radishes or something, but there's also some weeds in there. So pull it up out of me, Lord. Feel the pull. The pull of this age is for us to what? Be able to understand God when He speaks to us. When we don't have to worry, was that God or was that not God? Think it one more time and it'll be dismissed.
Oh, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Sing it to Him as you're dismissed. Be back at 2 o'clock. Brother Luis will be here.
Me a clean heart.